Ready for a deep dive into something truly extraordinary.
I am.
Okay, awesome. You've brought us a fascinating set of sources focusing on miracles attributed to Jesus.
Right?
And we're going to explore, let's see, 10 specific examples from the Bible,
10. Wow.
focusing on what makes each one unique and what they might tell us about Jesus's life and teachings.
I love it.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
It is
Thanks.
across cultures and
Yeah.
history. People have been drawn to stories of the impossible, right?
For sure.
But what makes these accounts of Jesus stand out?
That is the question.
Let's find out.
All right, so let's start with the story of Jesus calming the storm.
Okay.
This is from Matthew 8:23-27.
Okay.
The disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee,
Right.
and a massive storm hits. You can practically feel the
You
terror
can.
that they must have experienced. Seasoned fishermen or not,
Oh, yeah. I mean,
man,
especially on that sea.
who hasn't felt that kind of panic
No.
when it seems like the world is spinning out of control?
Yeah, that feeling of helplessness.
So what's your take on this?
Well, I think it's such a relatable human experience, isn't it? And that contrast between the disciples' fear and Jesus's calmness is striking.
Absolutely.
Like he's asleep through the whole thing.
It's wild.
And then, with just a few words, silences the wind and the waves. I mean, it's not simply about divine power over nature, though. I think it speaks volumes about faith, the disciples' trust in Jesus, and how he guides them through turmoil. Perhaps it's a reminder that even in our darkest moments, there's a force greater than ourselves that can bring peace.
It's like he's showing them and us that faith can be an anchor in the storm.
Yeah, like a lifeline.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this power isn't limited to nature, right? We
Right.
see it over death too.
Yes.
The story of Jesus raising the widow's son at Nain, which is in Luke 7:1-17.
Okay.
This is just incredibly moving.
Yeah.
A scene of utter despair, a mother losing her only child.
It's heartbreaking.
What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, it's a powerful image of compassion, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Jesus doesn't just offer words of comfort, he brings the young man back to life.
Yeah.
It's an act of restoring life to someone who is grieving.
Yeah.
I mean, it speaks to something beyond human capability, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
It makes you question, what are the limits of our understanding when it comes to life and death?
Such a big question. And that
Yeah.
question gets even more intense
Yeah.
in the story of Lazarus, John 11:144. I mean,
Okay.
this isn't just death.
No.
It's death with a capital D.
Totally.
Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days.
I know.
What's going on here?
Well, it's not just about reversing death, you know? This is about confronting decomposition.
Okay.
The 4 days are significant here, you see.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in Jewish tradition, there was
Wow.
a belief that the soul lingered near the body for 3 days after death.
Oh, wow.
By the fourth day, it was gone.
So Jesus waiting those 4 days was intentional.
Oh, yeah, he purposefully waits, challenging those beliefs.
Wow, that's a detail I never knew.
Right.
It adds a whole other layer to the story.
Yeah.
But shifting gears a bit,
Oh.
another theme that runs through these miracles is healing.
Right. Healing.
Jesus heals people with all sorts of ailments,
Oh, yeah.
leprosy, bleeding
Looked
disorders,
incredible.
paralysis, blindness from birth.
Variety.
It's just incredible the variety of suffering he encounters.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
What's fascinating to me is how Jesus engages with each person's pain.
Okay.
It's not a detached, clinical healing.
Yeah.
It's deeply personal and compassionate.
It is.
It really is.
The great example of this is the story of Jairus's daughter
Oh, yes.
in Mark 5:21-43,
Okay.
which is it's interwoven with the healing of the woman with a bleeding disorder.
Yes.
Jairus is desperate for Jesus to heal his dying daughter. But on the way, Jesus stops to address the woman who touched his cloak. I'm always struck by how Jesus meets people right where they are
Totally.
in their messiness and pain.
Yeah.
What jumps out at you in this story?
Well, I think it challenges our assumptions about priorities, doesn't it?
It does.
Jairus is facing a life or death situation, but Jesus still takes the time for this woman.
Right.
Maybe it's a message about recognizing the needs of everyone around us,
Yeah.
no matter how small they seem.
It's like he's saying everyone's pain matters.
Yeah.
Everyone's story is important.
Exactly.
But Jesus's miracles weren't always about addressing suffering.
Right.
Sometimes they were about something else entirely.
Totally.
Like take the wedding at Cana, for example.
Okay, the wedding at Cana.
This is John 2:1-11.
Got it.
It's not like they were dying of thirst.
Right.
He turns water into wine.
That's right, he does.
So what's that all about?
Well, it feels almost celebratory, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Like he's endorsing joy and abundance.
Exactly. It's a reminder that sometimes life is about celebrating.
Totally.
About those moments of shared joy and generosity.
Mm.
And you know what? This idea of unexpected provision.
Yes.
Connects to another miracle of abundance.
Which is?
The feeding of the 5,000.
Okay, yeah.
Talk about exceeding expectations.
I know.
This is Matthew 14.1321.
Right.
It's a reminder that sometimes, even when it seems like there's not enough,
yeah,
we can be surprised by abundance.
Absolutely. It can come from unexpected places.
And these miracles,
yes,
might be interpreted as demonstrations of Jesus's care for our basic needs, both physical and emotional.
I think that's a great point.
It's like he's saying, look, I care about your hunger. I care about your thirst.
Yeah.
I care about your celebrations.
I love that.
But not all miracles are so straightforward.
Right.
Sometimes there's an element of faith involved, right?
Absolutely.
Like, take the healing of the boy with a demon.
Okay.
This is Matthew 17.1321. It's not a simple act of healing. There's something deeper going on.
It's true.
So unpack that for us.
Well, in this account, you know, Jesus explicitly links the healing to the father's faith.
Yeah.
Suggesting that belief played a role.
Mm.
We see similar connections in other healing stories, too.
It's true.
It raises some thought-provoking questions about the relationship between faith and healing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what was the role of belief in these miracles?
That's a great question.
Was it a prerequisite?
Mm.
Or was it something that grew out of the encounter with Jesus?
So we've explored Jesus' power over nature and death,
right?
His compassion for human suffering,
mm-hmm.
and this idea of miracles as signs with deeper meanings.
Yeah.
We've only just scratched the surface, but hopefully this deep dive has given you a new way of looking at these ancient stories.
Well, I hope so.
And the figure at their center.
It's a fascinating journey.
And as you continue to explore,
yes,
think about this.
Okay, I'm listening.
So we looked at the miracle at Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine. What message might that be conveying to us today?
Hmm, that's a good word.
What does it say about abundance?
Okay.
Generosity and the role of joy in our lives.
Right.
It's something to ponder as you delve deeper into these incredible accounts.
Yeah, definitely something to think about.
I think we've covered some amazing ground today.
We have. We've done a lot.
And until next time, keep exploring.
Always.
All right, see ya.
Bye.